Loving it, eh? Just in the presence of the Lord. How sweet that was. And as we just worship, just God bringing words. Guys, I want to encourage you, even when you hear words come, like prophetic words, God doesn't waste his breath. There's a reason why he's saying it. Maybe you need to hear it tonight. This is part of him speaking. This is the prophetic. I think sometimes we kind of despise it a little bit because we hear it so often as charismatics. I don't want us to despise prophecy ever or words of encouragement. I cannot hear words of encouragement enough. I don't know of you. Like, it's lacquer, hey, when somebody encourages you, especially your boss. Or your teacher, or somebody encourages you, or your best friend. I want to encourage you tonight to go and encourage somebody this week. Find somebody this week and encourage them. So this is a word that I'm preaching on tonight. It's something that's burned in my heart for the last month, month and a half. A while back, I started after 33 years, again and again, I've done this numerous times, have read on the attributes of God. If you want to know the God that you serve, read the attributes of God. Like, understand who God is. So I'm literally just going to touch on one tonight. I want to touch on the goodness of God. I want to touch on that. And even saying the word good or goodness, what do you think of? Let's look quickly. Psalm 100. It's the very first verse there. For the Lord is good. And his enduring love, or steadfast love, endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. If I say to you, God is good. Like this little thing, I know that that Wade will love this. Anybody that got born again in the 90s, hey? You must probably said that a few times in the church. Hey, come on, church. God is good all the time. I always wanted to do that. Now I did. Hallelujah. But what do you think of when you see that? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. What do you think of? What is the emotion that it brings up in your life? Because I can tell you right now that I don't always believe that. I sometimes doubt God. I sometimes doubt God's goodness because especially when it feels as though God isn't hearing or answering my prayers. I wonder if people really believe or even think about what they are saying when they say, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. When was the last time you actually stopped and thought about the goodness of God? Think about it quickly. I want to read a scripture in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, but I want to read it from the NLT. I hope it's... I've got it. Don't you know how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness, the New King James says his goodness. Don't worry, you can flip back to the other one. That was very good, by the way. Continuity, I like it. His kindness is intended to turn you from your sin. In other words, Paul is writing, he's saying that his goodness, his kindness, something that God is intended to turn you from your sin. God's goodness is that thing that we realize right at the beginning when we got born again, that God is good. The word good means so many things to so many people. What do you think of tonight? And I'm going to ask that question a few times, probably. What do you think of when I use the phrase good or goodness? You see, when Christians say, and when we look at theology and we look at the Bible, that God is good, it is not the same as saying he is righteous or he is holy. Although holiness is constantly shouted from heaven and echoed on earth by every born-again believer, we know that God is holy. Throughout the ages, we have said that God is holy, and he has revealed his holiness to us, to men, to us, to each person sitting here maybe tonight. If you're a born-again Christian, God has revealed his holiness to you. But tonight, I don't want to talk about his holiness, but rather his goodness. So the goodness of God is that which makes him kind. The goodness of God is that which makes him friendly. I mean, have you ever thought of that? God is friendly. Or do you think God is constantly angry? I mean, seriously, as a kid, I grew up with, if you heard thunder and saw lightning, it's God speaking. If I see that, I don't think God is good. I don't think God is friendly, and I don't think God is kind. If I think like that. But God's goodness is because he's kind, he's friendly, he's sweet. Have you ever thought of God as sweet? Tender-hearted, generous, merciful, and God is full of good. It is his inherent perfection. God cannot be anything else but good. It's his inherent perfection of his character. God's character is always good. That's why we can say God is good all the time. All the time God is good. Listen to this. It is everything God is. It is everything God has. And it's everything God desires for us to experience. I'm going to say that again. It is everything. God's goodness is everything that God is. It is everything God has, and it's everything that God desires for us to experience. God wants good for you and for me. That God is good is taught and implied virtually on every page of the Bible. Our whole faith is based upon and built upon this. This is the foundation stone for all sound doctrine. One person once said, if you think of God and you have to sum it out, him up in one word, what would it be? And he said it would be good. One word. I mean, I can think of a ton of other words, but if I think of God, and I want to actually persuade you tonight that when you think of God, that you think of him as good. It's the foundation stone for all sound doctrine and every thought about God. We need this to stay morally sane, my friends. I promise you. If God is not good, then there is no distinction between kindness and cruelty. Have you ever thought of that? Then there will be no distinction between heaven and hell. And hell can be heaven. Because then God can fluctuate. And he doesn't. He doesn't change. Steve just read a verse in Psalm 31 verse 19. How abundant. It's generous. A lot. Is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and worked for those who take refuge in you in the sight of the children of mankind. Have you thought of how much God is kind? God is inherently good. So his goodness is one of his attributes, and is self-caused. What does that mean, Stefan? No man said he's good. No person caused him to be good. He is good. He caused it himself because he's God. Yeah, I think I need to teach on the attributes of God more often. It's infinite. It doesn't end. I was reading about eternity this week. I don't want to segue from my preach, but eternity, for us, we don't understand eternity. Because it's the realm where God stays. We are bound in time. We have linear time. There's a beginning and there's an end to everything. For God, there's no beginning and no end. There is no way that you and I can properly understand eternity. Once we're in eternity, then you will understand everything. Right now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, we see in part and we prophesy. It's like in a mirror dimly that we see. We do not understand because each one of us have a beginning day and we have an end day. That's what's going to be on your memorial stone. The day you were born and the day you died, and then this little line, that little dash, that's your whole life. I don't really care much, you know, in the graveyard. You started, you ended. What happened there? Are you thinking about what legacy you are living here and leaving behind? It says of David that he fulfilled his purpose in his generation. What is your purpose for this generation? I feel like the Holy Spirit is asking that question tonight. Are you thinking about it? But I'm an eternal being. I'm going to live with him for eternity. I'm going to be with him. Are you even thinking of that? Are you even thinking of eternity? Are you looking forward to be with him? Friday night, I was chatting to the young adults. We didn't get to much of this. We were talking about a new heaven and a new earth and what's going to happen there. And the reality of hell. Another subject that's kind of a taboo in the church today. Because if God is good, surely he will not send men and women to hell to suffer for eternity. It's because he is good. I think you misunderstand how good he is. That's why he's given his grace. It's perfect. God's goodness is perfect. God's goodness is eternal. I just said that. God is unchanging. He cannot change. Something that we use as in the language of the Bible is he's immutable. He doesn't change. He's not this angry God in the Old Testament and a different God in the Old Testament than he is in the New Testament. He's the same God. Today, yesterday, and tomorrow, he'll be the same God. He's good. So he never varies in his intensity to be good and loving, kind towards us. It's the same intensity all the time. Listen to this. He has never been kinder than he is now, nor will he ever be less kind. I want to say it again. He has never been kinder than he is right now, nor will he be less kind. So, one day a pastor asked this question. His name is Ray Pritchard. He says, God's goodness, he said this, he says, God's goodness is the answer to the question. And I happened to find out that this question was asked by Albert Einstein. And he said, is this a friendly universe? Albert Einstein asked that question. And I want to say, yes, this is a friendly universe. Why? When we come to the end of our thinking, we actually find that behind the vastness of this universe stands a God who cares about what he has made. But God, what about Syria? What about Palestine? What about Israel? What about Iran? What about the wars? What about the children dying? What about it, God? Behind all of this, at the end of all of this, we're going to meet a God that is good. He's never changed. He is not indifferent. We don't serve a God that is indifferent. We don't serve a God that is undecided in his ways, you know. He's not a God that is absent. There was a song in the 90s that Bette Midler sang, "From a distance, God is watching us." No, he isn't. He's God with us. He is fully involved for the good of the universe because he himself is a good God. I've said this a few times. R.C. Sproul said, if one molecule is out of place right now, if one molecule is out of place, we're all doomed. Who is behind all of that? A good God. I think the biggest mistake that we make, I'm going to read two scriptures just now, but I think the biggest mistake that we make in our comprehension of God's goodness is to equate it with the rightness, how right my circumstances are. My circumstance is good, therefore God is good all the time. But my circumstance sucks, therefore God is not so good. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. And that's a scripture that I quoted just briefly. For now, we see in a mirror dimly. But then, we will see his goodness face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been known fully. He is the definition of good. When you're going to meet him face to face, you're going to see good. That's what you're going to see. And then Psalm 27, verse 13 to 14. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Right now, for you to be alive, so you don't have to even wait to see the goodness. You'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Did I give 13 and 14, eh, or not? Wait for the Lord. Sorry. Thanks. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. That word there is an interesting Hebrew word. It's the word kava. It means to be intertwined with him. It's like a parasite plant that grows on another plant. It's so intertwined with this tree that you don't know where the beginning or the end is. That's what waiting on the Lord means. Are you that intertwined with him that you understand what his heart is for you and how good he is towards you? How good he is. Please let us not be like the little girl when she got what she wanted, said, God must really like me. Or when things aren't going our way, we say, why is God punishing me like this? Who's thought those thoughts? Hey? God must be punishing. Come on, guys. This is church. You can be actually truthful here. You don't have to lie. I've been there. Come on, church. There we go. I like it. This is the truthful side, I think. Let me preach to this. God must be punishing me. I did something wrong. I must have sinned. I must have fallen short. Listen, you always fall short of the glory of God. Always. It's by grace. It's by grace alone that we don't have to see cobwebs and dust in the throne room. That's such a beautiful word, Maya. We should be in front of the throne all the time because Hebrews tells us clearly that each one of us can now boldly enter it, not with an arrogance, but with a posture of worship, that we come low before him and we bow before his throne and we say, King of Kings. We come and we enter in because of what Jesus has done. Why? Because he's good. God is good. And if I say God is good, then obviously I'm saying God the Father is good, God the Son is good, and God the Holy Spirit is good. Obviously. Just. See, my friends, our circumstances are not are most defiantly, or definitely not, why did I put defiantly in here? Defiantly. It is defiant. Our circumstances are most definitely not a good reflection of God's goodness. I know what some of you are going through right now. I know that you're going through a tough time. I've gone through a tough time the last 2-3 weeks. But God still stays good. Whether life is good or bad, God's goodness is rooted in His character and stays the absolute same. It never changes. And God said this, He says, He's not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should even repent. Circumstances are not a good barometer of God's love and His goodness. What is the barometer that we use? The cross. Not my circumstances. The cross tells me that He is good. Jesus tells me that He's good. That's the barometer of His goodness. Nothing good comes except from God. And nothing except good comes from God. That's that little bumper stickers. I love them. This is a fridge magnet. This is a way better fridge magnet than Jeremiah 31:19 or whatever. Which one? 29, that one. Maybe it's time we start, and I'm saying, well, scripture is God-breathed, so you can quote anything, but read it in context. I know some of you are like, I'm going to ask Him a question afterwards. Why can't I have that on my fridge? You can have it on your fridge. It's good scripture. Just read it in context. Unless you're going to go into exile for 80 years, then it's a great scripture. Anyway, segue. Maybe it's time we start to count our blessings. Maybe it's time that we start thinking about how good God is. And actually see that the Lord, what He has done. This is one of my favorite scriptures. And I think, Kathy, you like this scripture as well. You've quoted this a few times. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. For every year, I get this list, which I never have read, of the benefits that I get from Discovery Health. I just go to Steve Corkill and ask him, what is the benefits that I have? Yeah. Steve tells me what the benefits are. But I think sometimes we want to do that with Jesus as well. Stefan, tell me, what is the benefits of God? Why must I serve God? I want you to find the benefits. Let your soul find the benefits of God. Let your soul, let your mind, your emotions, and your will find out what is the benefit of serving God. And verse 5, who satisfies you, listen to this, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Are you going through a tough time right now? Think about Him. Think about Him and let Him satisfy you. He satisfies me with good. And the goodness of God is the drive behind all the blessings He daily bestows upon us. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, another one that I love. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. You know why? When you taste God's goodness, then His praise will be forever on your lips. When you've tasted that Jesus is good, then it's easy to praise Him. God never has to urge Himself to be good, because He's good, because He's God. He doesn't have to be reminded that He is God. He's always God. infinitely, unchangeably good. Look at this. Look at this scripture. And may this be an encouragement to you of how God sees you. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt. That word exalt is he will do pirouettes. First position. And then, beautiful. I once did that in front of my whole school, and the whole school saw this, and I did the plié, and I did all that kind of stuff because I dated a girl that was dancing, and they did exactly what you guys just did. Clap hands, the whole school. I thought nobody saw. I thought she's just the only one that saw, but it's happened a long time ago when I was young. But look at this. He will exalt over you with loud singing. You serve a singing God that sings over you. What is the song that God is singing over your life right now? I think the best way to really see God's goodness is giving, is in giving and forgiving. When God gives, it is a reflection of his goodness. And conversely, anything that is good comes from the hand of a good God. Matthew Henry says this. He says, he who feeds his birds will not starve his babes. He who feeds the birds will not starve his children. He looks after us because he cares for us. God created us because he felt good in his heart. And he redeemed us for exactly the same reason, because he felt good in his heart. Go read Genesis chapter 1. Verse 3, verse 10, verse 12, verse 18, verse 21, verse 25, and verse 31. Go read the whole chapter, actually, if you want to. Genesis chapter 1. Those are all the verses that says, and God saw that it was good. Only one place where, in actual fact, at the end of it all, verse 31, it says that it's very good when he made us. The only thing that he says that's not good is not good for man to be alone. Amen, says all the single guys. Oh. Because the cause of God's goodness is himself. We are the recipients of his goodness. All benefit from this without any merit and without repayment. Every single one of us benefit from God's goodness, and we can't repay him. We deserve nothing, my friends. Paul says that we are wretched men. We have unclean lips. We all have fallen short of God's glory. Yet while we were sinners, God gave his son to die on the cross for me and for you. He gave, and he chose to forgive. He gave. The Father, the good Father, gave his only son, John 3:16. And he chose to forgive all who call upon the name of the Lord. All that believe in their hearts and all that confess with their lips that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Those are the ones that are born again. God's giving and forgiving rightfully deserves our thanksgiving. God's giving and God's forgiving is something that we need to be thankful for all the time. And he needs to receive our thanksgiving. Maybe our outlook will change if we all could believe that we actually dwell. Like that question that Ray Pritchard asked. Do we dwell under a friendly universe, under a friendly sky? If we all believe that, and that the God of heaven, even though he is highly exalted in power and majesty, is eager to be friends with us. Do you believe that God wants to be your friend? It's sin that made us not believe this amazing truth. Because sin came in like a wedge and it actually separated us from God. In conclusion, in our world, and you've heard this saying before, absolute power tends to corrupt absolutely, but not with God. Our all-powerful God is always full of goodness. His goodness is expressed in everything that he does. Even his acts of judgment are part of his goodness. And I want to end with this, and five things, just going to mention them. Because God is good, there's five things that you can take home tonight. If you're making notes, five things that you can believe tonight. The first thing is, we can believe what he says to us is true, because he's good. If God speaks, you can believe that it's true. Number two, we can have confidence in waiting for his rescue. If you're in a difficult situation right now, you can have confidence that God will come and rescue you. Number three, we can entrust our future. And I actually put this in brackets, our kids to his care. I don't want to say don't worry. But what I want to say is entrust your future because he's good. Number four, we can rely on his wisdom and his guidance because he's good. And number five, we can know that what he asks us to do is always the best for us. Woo! Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Or ana? Because sometimes I don't think we believe that. I don't know, surely Lord, you don't want me to go there or do this. Or I want to say, because God is good, we can know that what he asks of us to do is always the best for us, even though it seems horrible to you. Maybe consider the following questions. How have you responded to God's goodness in this last week? How have you responded to God's goodness in this last week? Don't answer me. Just go think about it. Next question. Is God ever against you? My Bible says, if God be for me, who can be against me? I want to say to you, if God be against you, who can be for you? That's the problem. You don't want God to be against you. And lastly, have you personally experienced God's goodness as it is expressed in salvation that is offered freely through Jesus Christ? That's my question tonight. Romans chapter 3, maybe just close your eyes. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says this. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you've not experienced that free gift. You didn't have to pay. You can choose. The first part says that if you pay something, it's death. But you can get a free gift tonight. It's called salvation through Jesus Christ. Have you personally tonight, you can personally tonight, experience God's goodness through salvation? If you're sitting here and you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus. Maybe you've been coming to a church for a long time. Maybe you grew up in a church. The Bible says that if we confess Him with our mouths, believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord, He will come and He'll save you tonight. Because He's done all the work on the cross for you. He's died for you. It is finished, He says. So if you're sitting here tonight and you say, Stefan, that's me. I want to experience His goodness tonight through salvation. I want a free gift. Just quickly raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you tonight. I want to pray with you. If this is your first time that you're saying, I want to surrender my heart to Jesus tonight, then do that right now. Quickly, just put up your hand. I'm looking. No one else is really looking around. I ask them to close their eyes like good charismatics do. Anybody else that's saying maybe, listen, maybe I have drifted from Jesus. I've walked away from Him over a long period of time now. I want to come back to Jesus tonight. Maybe you're just saying, yes, that's me. That's good. That's good. That's good. Anybody else saying, that's me. I want to come back to Jesus tonight. I want to experience His goodness. You know that He's always been good to you. Even when you were far off from Him. Even when you drifted. I want to read one scripture in Psalm 27 verse 13. I believe that I shall look. I've said this before. Upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God is great and God is good. Without Him, we are neither. So tonight, maybe you're sitting here as well. Maybe if guys want to pray for those that have put up their hands, just quickly go pray for them. If anybody else wants to, just there's some people that's going to pray in the back there. We'd love to minister to you in prayer. But if you're sitting here tonight, and I'm accepting everybody sitting here, then it's a Christian. And if you have gone, which seemed like hell in the last while. And I started off with that statement because I don't think that we always believe that He is good. Because we think it's circumstantial. Even this evening, I would love you to come to the front quickly. Because I would love to pray with you. I would love some of the leaders to come lay hands on you as we just pray and minister to you. If you're feeling that you've not experienced His goodness in this while, and you're kind of thinking because it's something that you've done wrong. Maybe it's because you've sinned. And now therefore God's not good anymore to me. He's good to my neighbor, but not to me. And if you're feeling like that tonight, just if you've gone through a difficult time, I would love for you to come to the front so we can pray with you.